Welcome to Get Rich Education. I'm your host, Keith Weinhold. How do you survive the horrific pandemic-driven economic malaise? As both a consumer and an investor, are we at the bottom or not? What are the darkest and the worst hit areas? And where can we find some light today on Get Rich Education? Fortunately for you, Congress has made it possible to get up to $200,000 out of your current 401k or TSP to invest in real estate or your own business, and that's even if you're still working. The thing is, you can get all this money tax-free. The EQRP is your secret weapon. With the CARES Act expiring soon, the EQRP company helps you unleash your retirement funds now. Learn more and text message QRP in all capital letters to 72,000.
You're listening to the show that has created more financial freedom than nearly any show in the world. This is Get Rich Education.
Welcome to GRE from JFK to LAX and across 188 nations worldwide. I'm Keith Weinhold. This is Get Rich Education. You surely know by now that American productivity, as measured by GDP, fell with a resounding thud at an annualized minus 33% last quarter. It is a jaw dropper. And how much of a jaw dropper is it? Do you realize that this is the sharpest contraction in modern American history? Greater than the 1930s Great Depression. What a horrific economic bottoming, I guess, because are we really at the bottom? A less scary figure is that quarter two output was about 10% lower than quarter one output. Okay, and yeah, what kind of world are we living in that I present that right there as better news? And it's not just us. The Tokyo Summer Olympics have been postponed to next year, and it's quite possible that they'll never happen. European economic powerhouse Germany reported a 10% quarterly drop in GDP as well. What do our leaders say? Well, there's one particular leader that I don't know that's always led us in the best way here, but to try to lend some credit where I can, admitting the gravity of the situation is a start in at least tempering American expectations. Yes, we're talking about the actual person of one Donald John Trump.
Some areas of our country are doing very well. Others are doing less well. It will probably, unfortunately, get worse before it gets better. Something I don't like saying about things, but that's the way it is.
The tech titans are performing rather well in the pandemic. I'm talking about those same companies that have been grilled by Congress lately over antitrust issues, Apple, Amazon, Facebook, and Google. Asset prices are up, including real estate that continues to hold up remarkably well. One reason, be mindful here, is that we've had a weaker dollar. So therefore, you can have a higher dollar-denominated price of gold and silver and copper and housing and stocks and cryptocurrency and even commodities like orange juice have been thriving lately. And then it's up to you to segregate intrinsic asset growth from dollar-denominated growth. But all in all, the haves are doing better than the have-nots. The have-nots are not participating in these asset rallies. And if you've been following my guidance here since 2014, you're probably still doing all right. You probably do have substantial real estate assets in those advantaged, more suburban markets. Remember, too, each piece of real estate that you own is like this package of commodities that you have. You own lumber and steel and glass, asphalt shingles, concrete, copper wire, aluminum, and everything else. But I've got to tell you that if you're one of those people that's just trying to scrape together a 20% down payment for your first purchase, you are more vulnerable than you are during economic good times. So if that's your situation, be extra careful that you've got some good durability of income in your overall life. If you don't, then you might want to reconsider buying right now. If you're just scraping things together for a down payment, you had better be sure that you're getting the right asset. But if you are better off, maybe one of the haves rather than the have-nots, then this can be a great time to buy more investment real estate. Because look, just consider this. Housing Wire recently reported a mortgage rate below 2%. Yes, now it is a 15-year rate, and we're talking about primary residences here, but one company offers a 1.875% mortgage rate for this loan type. If that doesn't put a fantastic exclamation point on how you can take advantage of low rates, at least on your first 10 single-family rental properties up to fourplexes, then I don't know what does. Now, you'll probably pay 3 point something or more for your income property rate right now. But the fact that anyone out there is getting 1.875% is almost incomprehensible. Yes, as a GRE listener, you know that 15-year loans rarely make sense. A 30-year is just a better loan because rather than retire debt early, you can use the lower payment to create higher cash flow and therefore reinvest rather than pay down ultra low rate debt. Exploit that arbitrage. But this is all kind of how it starts with this sub 2. Right now, for the first time, you're probably hearing about it. First time ever, sub 2 rates. And it's for a fringe product, maybe that you wouldn't use. But if they go a little lower, now you're going to be into the low 2s for primary residences. So on the rental property side, if those 0.7, 0.8 rent-to-value ratio properties seemed less appealing 6 months ago, they look more appealing to you now. Other signs about whether we're up off this horrific economic bottom? Well, some bright spots. The number of borrowers in mortgage forbearance has dropped, and consumer spending is up off its lows. But of course, that's partly because they were in pretty low places before. This week's guest will be with us in just a minute to discuss housing trends today, and she is an expert and an instructor in real estate market analysis. Coming up on the show in future weeks here, homelessness in real estate. Yeah, when we talk about haves and have-nots, COVID has ravaged those that unfortunately don't have a home, or I guess more accurately, don't have a house. Real estate was already contributing to homelessness, and you know what? So are you. And so am I. We discuss real estate on this show, and we've got to be so grateful that we both have our own homes and we provide homes to others. Why are people homeless? And you know, some things that contribute to homelessness that go right through the heart of real estate investing that you've never thought about before are things like NIMBYism, rent control, smoke detectors, minimum wage, and even salamanders. Yes, I think it's all going to be clear to you when I explain it to you. It is homelessness in real estate on an upcoming episode. Also, we've talked here before about how the numbers don't make sense for long-term residential investment property in these huge world-class cities like New York, LA, Singapore, Sydney, London, and places like that. Well, there is, however, one notable exception. This world-class city has a metro population of about 10 million people, and yet the numbers and the law make sense for you as an investor. Yes, a world-class city that actually makes sense. A guest and I are going to discuss this on an upcoming show. For today, our guest and I are going to get granular and really break down the economy, what this means for real estate, coming up off the bottom of this contraction, and where you can still invest to be profitable. This week's guest is the vice president of Grow Capitus. They're a San Francisco-based commercial real estate company. They really deal especially in multifamily. She is a third-generation real estate entrepreneur. That's pretty rare. And she has more than 25 years of experience investing in key markets across the United States. She has a portfolio herself of investment properties from Buffalo to Atlanta to Utah to Arizona and elsewhere. So we're talking about ones in her management portfolio as well as ones she co-owns with her investors. And you might have seen her in person because she's a pretty prolific conference speaker. She also teaches deal analysis for an apartment investing education company called Multifamily U. It's an honor to have here today for her first time ever on Get Rich Education, Anna Myers.
Thanks for having me and thanks for the intro.
Anna, Before we're real estate investors, let's take a step back because first, we're all investors and consumers. And I've kind of thought about the recovery from the pandemic as more of a Nike swoosh-shaped recovery. I've really been saying that from the beginning. I don't see a V-shape. It's hard to match up talent with labor again after a recession. I just think for a few years, we're going to have a smaller economy overall. We have an unemployment rate and GDP contraction that draws comparisons to the 1930s Great Depression. So what are your thoughts about the overall economy and the potential timetable for a recovery?
As a whole, I would agree with you that on the national level, that it's more like a swoosh type recovery. We're looking at, I think the unemployment rate's about 11.1%. We just had GDP contract 10.3%, which I think is a massive number when it's annualized. So yes, I agree. It's big. We can't really get our arms around this pandemic right now, which is concerning. So it's hard to know the path forward. But I will also tell you, we're data geeks. That's my business partner and I at Grow Capitus. Our backgrounds are both in technology, and we approach real estate through a data science lens. And what we're seeing in this pandemic is, like before the pandemic, all markets are not equal. So you take that 11.1 average unemployment across the nation. Well, that's not like everywhere you're going to look, it's going to be 11.1%. You've got markets that are 29% unemployment because they were primarily hospitality oriented or tourist oriented. So you got these very, very hard hit areas. And then you have some areas that are 4% unemployment. So those are the things that we're looking at still as data geeks. We continue to plunge in and look at data because data is, the numbers don't lie. And so those markets are the ones that many people are looking at, those low unemployment markets. Now, there's several reasons for lower unemployment. One being that some of these markets aren't fully shutting down. So you have this interesting development where markets that did completely shut down, which was very responsible in pandemic, it was very effective in many nations in Europe, but by stopping your economy completely, it's problematic. And then there's other parts, other states that did not do that and have taken a different approach. Those states, interestingly enough, and I guess not surprising, have lower unemployment. They didn't lose all of their jobs. So states like Arizona and Utah are doing much better than some of the other states.
Well, we have a big input into rents like employment. Sure, there are a number of ways to parse that. We could parse that by geography. We could parse that by business sector. We could parse that by other demographics like age, for example. What about when it comes to employment sector? Because you do a lot of data analysis for where to make purchases. What's made this pandemic interesting with employment, Anna, is I think that we have some areas that are conventionally known as recession resistant, like college and even medical, that are vulnerable now. And some might not think that medical is, but just ask any doctor and they'll tell you that things like routine checkups and elective procedures, they're really what's profitable. So what are your thoughts with regard to the assault on certain sectors, oftentimes that are quite recession resilient?
Yeah, the sectors are definitely something to watch. And there is a big pivot going on in the world. And there are definitely winners and there's definitely losers and there's definitely surprises in that group of losers and surprises in the group of winners. So I agree, medical has been a surprise because you think, hey, we're in a medically, like a health issue, that we are facing a pandemic.
Right.
Our economy is in a crisis because of a health issue. So you would think that medical would be through the roof. But just as you stated, many doctors and dentists, et cetera, are really suffering because all of the elective surgeries and so many things had to be put on pause and everyone's focused on the pandemic. I've heard people telling me that doctors are like twiddling their thumbs, like I've got no business, I've got no work, and that's not a good situation for them. Students is a different one as well. And that, again, can be very state specific and college specific. So some states and cities, the universities are actually doing pretty well. The fall enlistments, the enrollments are just as strong as they were in 2019. So we're hearing there was a huge issue with, of course, the shutdown happened and the students were all driven home. Well, guess what happened? After spending 2 or 3 months with their parents, the parents are divorcing the students are divorcing the parents. The students are like, I want to be on campus next month or at least living in that city. And the parents are like, I want you to be there too, darling. So they're doing different things. So it's an interesting, if you are in a city that is a university town or, you know, has strong universities, it's an opportunity as a real estate investor, whether you are a single family, a duplex, multi, you know, fourplex, or you have larger multis, because consider this, the students are coming back to most universities. Do your research on your own university, right, and see what that situation is. The students are coming back, but the on-campus housing, depending on the university, they're only taking 25 or maybe max 50% because they're trying to reduce the density. Well, you've got all these students and less on-campus housing. Well, where do they go? They're going out into the community, so they have to be renting. So that creates a surge in rental demand in the surrounding community. Hey, as real estate investors, that's an opportunity for us to provide great housing. Of course, you've got to make sure your housing is on par. We are in a pandemic. You got to make sure that you are delivering a great product to a student. And if that's the who you want to cater to, you have to choose that too. I encourage people to really watch the student housing webinars that's coming out by, you know, people like Yardi, Marcus and Milichev. Like there is some great content and it is very surprising. It is not what you would think. The student housing market is very strong right now.
That's pretty interesting about what you're seeing with college housing.
Yeah.
I think it can introduce some long-term disruption. I think you're going to have more and more people questioning why even show up on campus? Why pay this high tuition when there are more and more options out there like masterclass.com and the Khan Academy, some of these for only $15 a month at really good quality instruction. Why should I continue to show up in a physical class long-term? Is that a smart thing to do?
We're going to see that over time, but I think that the current crop of incoming college students, they've created a vision in their mind of the life they want to live, and they've created this near-term vision of what they want. They haven't pivoted from that yet. They haven't turned and said, like, you know what, parents, and I think it would be much better for me not to do what I've been dreaming of for the past 3 years, instead just to do Khan Academy. That's not something they're ready to accept. These are teenagers. They're not that rational, right? So as adults, I think there's lots of choices we can make, but I do think that that's more of a long-term pivot. So you may see that happening in a few years where you have the ninth and 10th graders that are seeing this happening, and they are starting to envision a different thing of what their future potential could be as a college student. But I don't think it's going to happen in this coming year or maybe even the next year.
Yeah, I can agree with that. There is something out there called the college experience that is a value to some people.
Is it worth it?
I don't know. And sometimes at 18 years old, you don't always make the best decisions for your long-term future. But of course, real estate investing is a long-term game. And we're talking about the long-term here. So, well, you had mentioned some geographic areas that show some disproportionate employment or unemployment that are more resilient in the recession. Tell us about some of those, including some geographic surprises, whether that's bright spots or that's more challenging spots with employment in the pandemic geographically.
No surprise, some of the hardest hit are, as I mentioned, the tourist and hospitality areas like Las Vegas and Orlando have had tremendous unemployment, very, very hard hit. And then some of the biggest winners, of course, are the e-commerce areas. So e-commerce and industrial areas that support e-commerce and the tech industries. Now, it's interesting because when you have tech combined with high density, like San Francisco or some areas, people are leaving those areas because the rents are so high and now they don't have to work there. They can work remotely. So they're choosing to live and work in areas that are more affordable. And I'm not saying everybody wants to move to the suburbs because there's a lot of people that still like an urban feel, but they're going to be more interested potentially in a city that's less dense, but still has a vibrant culture to it, that still has an innovative tech culture going on. Salt Lake City, Durham, Raleigh, these are very, very attractive places for people to live and work, even though they're working remotely. There's beautiful outside things for them to do. They can social distance. Every state is facing the pandemic, but these locations are targeted as the fastest to recover post-COVID because of the combination of tech and their location in terms of logistics. Salt Lake City is located so that it's kind of almost in the hairpin of where trucking would go. And in the logistics that we're facing coming up, it's all about logistics and getting goods out to people and warehousing closer instead of warehousing in China or other countries and then bringing it in and just moving around. Now we're going to have to warehouse it in the country. There's a definite pivot going on. Interestingly enough, so e-commerce, it has been surging. We all know that. People are shopping more online. This is not a new trend. It's a continuing trend. E-commerce was up 15% growth in year over year, okay? Guess what the growth has been now, with the pandemic included? 77% growth.
That's astounding.
E-commerce. since that's in the last year, from May 2019 to June 2020. And the majority of that growth happened during the post-COVID, right? That is stunning. That is game-changing. Everybody needs to pay attention to that and start looking at where can I invest that is supported or that has people that support e-commerce? Because that, I think, is where people are going to go, right? Because you have to physically be there to pack, and there's all these physical jobs that go along with e-commerce. I would definitely recommend looking into cities like that. Those are numbers you can't ignore.
That's a good point. And those physical jobs tied to e-commerce do need to stay there. That's something in itself that cannot be outsourced. Yeah. And of course, even if we have a smaller economy, an economy is still going to exist, and there are going to be shifts with differential concentration in different places. So it really is about identifying those places. Well, in the pandemic, there are just more people that are worse off financially. Their job is shaky. Does that mean that banks aren't going to give loans to people, and that might put more people in the renter pool and be fewer people that could be home buyers? We're going to talk about that in a minute. You're listening to Get Rich Education. Our guest is Vice President of Grow Capitalist, Anna Myers. More when we come back. I'm your host, Keith Weinhold. Property investors can get killed with maintenance costs. That's less likely when you buy brand new construction. Let me tell you about JWB Real Estate Capital in bustling Jacksonville, Florida. They pioneered the build-to-rent model where you can invest in new construction, turnkey rental property. That's why JWB was featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. To learn more and see inventory, start now at newconstructionturnkey.com. The people that our listeners can't stop talking about are Ridge Lending Group and MLS 42056. They provided you with more loans than anyone. It's where I got my last few loans, and they finance single-family income property up to fourplexes. They're the number one lender for both beginners and veterans. Start your pre-qualification, chat with President Chaley Ridge personally, and you'll end up with your custom plan for expanding your cash flowing portfolio. Start at RidgeLendingGroup.com.
This is Rich Dad Advisor Tom Wheelwright. Listen to Get Rich Education with Keith Weinhold and don't quit your daydream.
Welcome back to Get Rich Education. We're talking with Anna Myers. She's the Vice President of Grow Capitalist. Check them out at growcapitalist.com. Anna, people are just in general worse off financially. And us as investors, we need to think about what that means. If people's jobs are shaky, well, therefore fewer people like banks would want to extend a mortgage loan to them, whether they're buying investment property, or whether they're looking to buy their own homes. That therefore could potentially put more people in the renter pool, driving rental demand. What are your thoughts?
That it's true. There are a large number of people that are financially devastated by this pandemic, and more are to come. But just to add on to that, there are many people that are doing better than ever. They're doing way better because their jobs have taken off. Their companies have taken off, and they didn't even realize they were going to be this huge winner because who knew this was coming? There are some people that are making more money than they ever made in their life because their jobs are just skyrocketing.
Zoom,
DoorDash. There are winners and there are losers, right? Of every side. So I do agree that this health crisis that's become a financial crisis is going to be ongoing. And I do also agree that there'll be a large number of people that will be renters going to the renter pool because they're not able to manage household payments. I think that's coming. That's nice to have a lot of renters coming your way. And I think that we need to think about what these people are going to need. If you're looking to be attractive to this oncoming renter pool, then some of the things we try to emphasize is the ability to work from home. So to create, when you're advertising your space, you want to show that it's roomy, that it's got big windows. Maybe it's got an outside space because people need that. They got to get outside. They're inside all day long. Add an extra desk area that, and emphasize in your advertisement, you know, work from home friendly. If you have things that can help with air filtration, anything that you can say about, you know, smart home tech and that type of stuff can definitely help. Put your hat on as a renter in a pandemic and think about what do people want out of my space? We're all real estate investors, right? We have to think like that. How do you be attractive to service this new economy that we're in? And I think a lot of it does have to do from work from home and health. Those are two of the main things. Now, interest rates are very low right now for residential purchases. So while we're saying a lot of people can't afford homes, some people that have been sitting on the sidelines are buying things up.
right?
Because the interest rates are so low. So if they had done a good job of saving their money and they had stuff sitting there, home ownership is definitely shooting up. And I understand a lot of that is going to the suburbs. So some of these areas are just, people are just buying them up, and they're seeing huge surges in home pricing and homes going up. And some areas, of course, are the losers because people are moving out of those areas.
It's that de-densification trend that's becoming so well documented here in the pandemic. And yeah, it's interesting with low rates and low inventory, this environment that we're in now, it's kind of widened this disparity between the haves and the have-nots. If you already have a down payment in credit, now you're the beneficiary of those historically low mortgage rates. But if you're one of those people that was just on the brink of being a first-time home buyer and just trying to get by, and now if lending qualifications have become more stringent and your jobs become shakier, now you're out of luck. So it's really sort of widened this canyon between the haves and the have-nots.
Yeah, and I also want to say, as an apartment owner, I mean, we have about, I'm the asset manager of about 1,800 units across the nation. Now, some number of those aren't built yet. We're under construction, so we're actively in construction. So probably about 900 units are value add. They're actually in, you know, occupied. And you would think during the pandemic that we would see a decrease in occupancy because people losing their jobs. Well, first of all, in most of these places, we can't evict anyone. So we're working hard on collections and keeping the delinquency down. But what surprised us is the surge of occupancy. We are not losing people. I mean, you might think like in the last recession, people were like, they moved home to live with their parents, right? Like they lost their job. They just, I'm going to move home. I'm going to live in the garage or whatever. We're not seeing that happen right now. And I've got a theory about that, which is that in this pandemic, which older people are more threatened than younger people with health consequences and death, the son or daughter isn't just like, hey, I lost my job. I know I'm going to find a new job. I'm going to live with mom and dad in the meantime. No, they're not.
Good point.
They don't want to introduce health risks to their parents. So instead, they're finding roommates. They're continuing to be renters, and they might room with other people. So maybe they've got to leave their one bedroom, and then they're going to move into a three bedroom where they're rooming with two other people to reduce their costs. It's very interesting to see the trends in occupancy. It's not what you would expect. Very different.
That's a great way to think about it. Yes, some amenities are really more important to people. That was great about how you talked about how if you want to have high occupancy, you need to think about how a prospective renter would think in the pandemic. A fenced yard has more value now than it did just 1 year ago. A place that has more smaller rooms rather than fewer large rooms helps to give people that home office or give people that home gym that they need now or so on. So across the thousands of units that you manage and you see, tell us more about the management and the changes that you've seen in the pandemic now that we're several months into it and just this entire new lexicon and world that we're in where people like you and I read the word forbearance and eviction every day.
As I mentioned, most of our units we were not able to evict. So previously, in terms of property managers, the policy was we didn't accept partial payments, right? So you either paid all your rent or you're late and you didn't pay your rent and blah, blah, blah. Well, now we need to work with our tenants more. We're all in a pandemic. Everybody's got to have a little give. So that policy has now changed. All of our property managers now are accepting partial payments and working intensely with our tenants. Now, here's the challenge. Not all of the tenants are financially impacted by COVID. So there's this dance we have to do. We have to be, you know, helpful because we're all in a pandemic, but firm because some people are just gaming the system. And that's not fair, right?
Right.
It's very management intensive right now, both as an asset manager that's working with so many different property managers and always collecting the data. We're always about collections. Where are we this month compared to where we were at this time last month and seeing the trends and all that. So lots more effort on the asset management side and lots more interactions on the property management side. They have to keep up with so many more tenants. There's so much more collections going on. It's become I would say for all of us, our job has increased about 25%. I just want to reiterate that our tenants are very important people and we can't just look at them as dollar and cents. We have to look at them as human beings that are in the same pandemic that we are in. I'm not out to be taken advantage of, but we all have to get through this together and we have to perhaps be creative in how we get through this and we have to be human. It's a human thing that we're experiencing.
I am so glad that you just said that, Anna. Over the years, I've talked to the audience about how emotions don't have any place in income property. They might in your own home, but income property is about the numbers. But then a few months ago, shortly after the pandemic became a real problem, I was the one getting on the microphone talking about how this is the time to show empathy for your tenants. So it's a rare time that's really made us redefine a lot of things that we've never thought about before. Well, are there any last things that you'd like our listeners to know? I mean, you and Grow Capitus are really experts in identifying the best trends in the best real estate markets.
We specialize that, and in that, the fact that our portfolio has really weathered the pandemic very well. We are not at risk of losing any of our properties because of the strength and the foundations that we built coming into this. And I feel very proud of that. And the way we sourced our properties is so specific, again, based on data. And so many people appreciate that about us, how careful we manage and how we look at data. We actually teach what we do in Multifamily University. That's multifamilyu.com. That we have, besides webinars, which I post usually once a week, we have town halls, we have webinars, lots of free education, no pitch, no fluff. So I definitely encourage people to come check out multifamilyu.com, watch some of our webinars, ask questions, get involved. If you want to take it to the next level, we teach a boot camp 4 times a year. And that is just all out learning. People say it's like drinking from a fire hose. The amount of data and information that we provide is pretty stellar. We're all about giving, and I think we're the best value out there for true bootcamp experience to learn about multifamily and multifamily syndication from and how we do what we do every day.
Anna Myers, Vice President of Grow Capitus. You're really experts in real estate market analysis. Thanks so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you. It's been great being here with you.
Yeah, great stuff from Grow Capitus VP Anna Myers today, multifamilyu.com. Talking about some of those things that you don't often think about, like how the pandemic is altering household formation. Sometimes adult kids don't want to move in with parents and introduce health risks to them. You've got good occupancy in a lot of investor advantage markets today, and you need your occupants to have the ability to pay the rent. In summary, some of the pandemic losers are hospitality, some medical, and college real estate, longer term anyway. Therefore, places rich in hospitality culture, like Las Vegas, are disproportionate losers. Of course, economies with a high dependency on oil are losers too, as are many high-density places. The winners continue to be industries like e-commerce, tech, warehousing. Of course, Memphis has a lot of the latter. Salt Lake City and Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina were mentioned. Smaller cities and suburbs are the winners. And it's interesting that as an asset manager, her work has increased by perhaps 25%. All in all, hang in there with the scarce housing inventory available. Enjoy those low interest rates that are so low that they feel like they're below the ocean floor. And keep some long-term perspective. As you're looking out there on the horizon, realize that American housing is currently undersupplied by about 2.5 million housing units. And think about how there will soon be 1 billion more people on this planet, with 100 million more people in the U.S. alone, and they're all going to require shelter. I hope that you're one of the fortunate ones that is going to provide it. Again, coming up on the show, an eye-opening look at homelessness in real estate. Also, a segment about how there really is a world-class city that exists and makes sense for an investor like you. Hey, if you enjoy the show here, I'd really appreciate it if you told a friend. Take a screenshot of the episode and share it on your Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or perhaps your LinkedIn. Tell a friend about the show. In return, as always, I will faithfully appear again next week. I am privileged to have your attention again this week. I'm your grateful host, Keith Weinhold. Don't quit your daydream.
Nothing on this show should be considered specific, personal, or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, financial, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own. Information is not guaranteed. All investment strategies have the potential for profit or loss. The host is operating on behalf of Get Rich Education, LLC, exclusively.
preceding program was brought to you by your home for wealth building, GetRichEducation.com.